The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen eds provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Welcome to All 32 Picks and IPAs, week 16 of the NFL season. And got a good show for you. We're going to be going around the horn with introductions of our hosts. And I don't know who scored at the top this week. I'm just going to assume it's me since I did so great. I'm your host, Brandon Schultz, joined by my good buddy, Adam Emmert.
Hey, man. Not so fast, my friend. I'm not sure that you had the best score out of the
week. No, I think you did. I think you're right.
Okay. Well, I was just saying.
I was kind of wondering.
I know Jared Tim didn't have the best score. At least I don't think he did.
I'll get there. This is a new week. I struggled a little bit. My own team let me down.
Your team did let you down.
The Giants were close, though.
That was interesting. We'll talk about that game. Yeah,
I was really close to looking like a freaking genius.
I can't believe it.
You were that close.
It was crazy on so many levels. Yeah. Yeah.
That was quite the comeback and quite the MMA match between Norman and Beckham.
Yeah, Beckham kind of had a little meltdown there.
A little bit. I don't know if you can count it as a meltdown if it's over the course of 2 hours, but we'll get into it. Lots to talk about, lots of topics. And Adam, you picked the beer this week. What are we drinking?
Did pick the beer this week. We are drinking the Tramway Rye Pale Ale, and this is brewed by Phillipsburg Brewing Company out of Phillipsburg, Montana, which is a delightful place to visit, and the brewery is awesome. So we'll talk more about the beer later in the pod, but I'm excited to review this beer today because I think the world of this brewery.
Interesting. Is Phillipsburg the place with a really cool candy store?
That's exactly right. They have the Sweet Palace there, a bunch of handmade I mean, it's huge. It's just the whole thing is just filled with candy, like, you know, floor to ceiling, and most of it's handmade. Anything you can possibly think of, they've got. You can mine for sapphires there while you're there. You can go to the brewery, check out ghost towns. You can go to ski resort. There's Georgetown Lake in the area. Plus, it's a beautiful territory. It's a cool, cool town. In fact, 2 days from now on Christmas Day, they will be doing a hayride up and down Main Street and a big bonfire in the middle of town. And like they do every year. It is a cool town, cool place, cool people, and good beer. So,
all right, we will get
Adam
into
likes
that.
Phillipsburg.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Big fan.
It sounds like it.
Someday I will live there. Yeah.
An unpaid advertisement for Phillipsburg, Montana.
Absolutely. They've earned it.
All right, guys. Well, what do you say we get into this week's picks, starting off with Thursday night?
Sounds good, man. Well, we got the San Diego Superchargers on the road to face the Oakland Raiders, Jared. The Chargers screwed me last week because I did not take into account it was their final home game, and it was going to be a very emotional scene. Shame on me. That was my fault. I don't think they'll have that same emotional boost this week against the Raiders, who played the Packers fairly tough last week.
Yeah, they did, and I think you could take some comfort in picking Oakland because they're going to do exactly what San Diego did. They had a lot of pride in playing the last game, most likely, in San Diego, and now Oakland is going to ride out the rest of their season for their very own Charles Woodson.
Yeah. One of the Woodsons.
I was dating myself a little bit, but, you know, yeah. I think they're pretty sad that they're going to lose him after this year, and they're going to play as hard as they can for him. I'm going Oakland at home. Chargers have nothing left after that win.
Yeah. Brandon?
No, I'm in agreement. This is Oakland's last game in their home stadium for this season. Who knows what's going to happen next year? And yeah, Charles Woodson, gosh, one of the greats. One of my favorite players of all time, just based off of all of his success, you know, defensive player of the year. Going back to college and Heisman Trophy winner. Gosh, has it been that long since we've had a defensive player? Because was he the last person to win the Heisman as a defensive player?
I think
he could be. He played both ways, though.
He did play. Yeah. I'm going Raiders. And yeah. User consensus on this one, 88% with Oakland, wow. Only 12 with San Diego.
Well, put me among the 88. I'm going Raiders as well. It's funny, Jared, when I was thinking about this game as I scrolled through, I said in my head, oh, Rod Woodson's last game. I screwed it up too. But yeah, Charles Woodson, like just like you said, Brandon, one of the all-timers. I love the fact that he played out the majority of the season. And then there's with a couple weeks to go, then he was like, all right, this is going to be my last one. So he gets a little hoopla, which he's more than earned.
Yeah.
But he's not doing a full year farewell tour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I really respect the heck out of the guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think this is going to be a very emotional game for Oakland. I don't think this is their last home game in Oakland, though. I don't think they're going anywhere.
No, I don't either. And I think Oakland's going to play hard because they're going to try and carry some momentum to next year, whereas San Diego doesn't know what the hell's going on. They have nothing to play for at this point.
Right.
Not a coach, not a team, nothing. So Oakland's got this game for a lot of reasons. Or a city, yeah.
All right, guys. Let's see here. We're moving on. There is another Saturday night game. So if you don't quite get enough nights filled with NFL football, here is another weekend evening game for you. Interesting one in the sense that both these teams are still in position for the division, one leading, one close. Brandon, Washington takes on Philadelphia Eagles in Philly. Who you got?
This is tough because every time I pick for Washington or against them, you know, with them being a 7-7 team, I think I'm almost exactly opposite of which way they go. I would have been better off either picking them to win every game or picking them to lose every game because I have not done well with this team. I'm going with Philadelphia because they're at home, and I feel like this division's going to come down to the final weekend. And Philadelphia has the chance to make a run with this. If they win their last two games, they'll be in position for that NFC West or the NFC East title. And I do like there's so many average teams out of the bunch, but I think the Eagles are the one I like the most. I'm going Philly.
You know, this is a game where Washington can put Philadelphia out of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, they're one game up on them right now. I think Philly still, I don't think that they play consistently at all. And Washington has had a little more consistency to their games throughout the whole year. Yeah, I guess after week 4 or 5 or whatever it was. But I think they have a better defense. I think Kirk Cousins has made a step forward as a quarterback. I think their run game is a little bit better. I don't know what's going on with DeMarco Murray with the Eagles. I mean, you have a third down and short situation. He's not even looking like he was even an option to go in the
game.
That
was crazy.
Had two carries in the game.
Yeah, so this baffles me. I do think Washington is a better overall team, and with a chance to try to put their division rivalry in the coffin for this season, I think they're going to come out and play hard and do it. I'm going Washington.
I think Washington is the best of the mediocre teams, if that makes any sense. Yeah, of all those average teams, they tend to be the most consistent out of them. And one thing that is interesting, you wouldn't think this, but you know who leads the league in completion percentage? It's Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
He's become that reliable and that accurate. He's cut down on the turnovers. I think Washington is going to make a major try to keep Kirk Cousins on the roster for next year and re-sign him now that his rookie contract will be up this year. And I think he's the quarterback of their future. Apparently him and Gruden have kind of come together and have really put something solid together. I'm impressed. As much as I was kind of down on Kirk Cousins' game for a long time, he's won me over. Now, on the flip side with the Eagles, talk about a team that has done the exact opposite. Jared, you mentioned the DeMarco Murray situation. Dude's making $40 million. $40 million. And Chip refuses to put him on the field. There's a cancer in that Philadelphia locker room of some kind. And I don't know if it's DeMarco Murray or Chip Kelly or the scheme itself. Or just there's just bad juju around this team. Now, with all that said, the Eagles could come back and win this game real easy, and I could just look stupid. Like I don't feel good about it, but I'm taking Washington on the road.
Yeah, there's something going on with that relationship between Chip Kelly and DeMarco Murray, and I'm sure once one of the two is gone, we're going to hear about it. Much like, you know, when LeSean McCoy left and went to Buffalo, we heard about it then. It wouldn't surprise me. So user consensus on this game, guys, I'm in the minority, 43% with the Eagles, 57% going with Washington.
So if you guys had Kirk Cousins as your quarterback right now,
mm-hmm.
and there weren't a lot of other options coming at you, would you be happy with him as your quarterback? Like, say if they signed him to a 4 or 5 year deal, would you be okay with that? Knowing that there are a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFL right now, not to mention all the young ones. Like, you got Russell Wilson, you got Bortles, you got Bridgewater, you got all these guys. Do you think Kirk Cousins can compete with those guys as they get better?
I would be happier as a Washington fan than if I were a Miami fan and had Ryan Tannehill signed to his big deal. I think so.
I think I might agree with you on that one. A little bit after this season, I think I would, yeah.
Yeah, after watching the guys this season.
I would wholeheartedly disagree with that. I think Ryan Tannehill has far more upside than Kirk Cousins has. He has a ceiling. There's no doubt about it. He's not a physically gifted guy. He's just a guy that's going out there and getting it done basically on his moxie. Ryan Tannehill has all the skills. He has showed improvement when he's had some decent coaching and a little bit of stability. Look, the coaching situation in Miami has been a disaster. You get me a good coach with Ryan Tannehill, I'll take Tannehill all day long in that situation.
Well, you're giving us a hypothetical here, a good coach with Ryan Tannehill. Like, when's that going to happen?
Well, I mean, he has a shot at it next year, depending if ownership can make a good hire.
Well, I mean,
that's all it comes down to.
So you're talking the argument with, you know, maybe the ownership and the coaching and all this other crap. I mean, look at what Kirk Cousins has dealt with in Washington. I mean, there's the RG3 right. that has been looming over everybody. There's Snyder, the owner. There's the coaching staff that has been up in the air, and he's continuing to produce this year. So I don't agree with your argument as far as the coaching staff goes, because Cousins has dealt with the same exact thing, if not worse.
Well, as far as ownership goes, yeah, I'd agree with you on that. But as far as coaching goes, he's had at least the same head coach all year. I mean, Ryan Tannehill hasn't. He had his head coach fired. He had his offensive coordinator fired. I mean, there's been a lot of change throughout the year for him. So at the very least, even though Jay Gruden isn't a world beater as a coach, at least it's been the same all year. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
If we're arguing upside, I would agree with you that Tannehill has more upside. Mm-hmm. But if the quarterback that I'd be more comfortable with having if I were a fan of that team, for me right now, it's Cousins.
Yeah, but wasn't the question for the next 4 or 5 years under contract?
I was just saying if you were a Washington fan and you guys signed him for a 4 or 5 year contract, I don't know how Tannehill got into the mix. It doesn't really matter. But would you be happy if he was your quarterback?
You know, that's one of the harder questions because
I'll be here all day.
He's going to be mediocre for his career. I don't see him ever being somebody that's in, you know, the upper 10 quarterbacks of the league at any time soon. But the thing is I don't see any young guys coming out of the draft here in this next year that you're ready to hit your wagon to.
Yeah.
A dude from Cal.
Yeah. But they're not going to have that draft pick, you know?
I don't know. I'd be happy with Cousins. I think he's made a lot of smart decisions now. I don't know. Maybe we spent too much time on
Cousins. No, I think it's an interesting, I think it's an interesting question. I wouldn't be sad about it. How about that? Like, yeah. I mean, you could have a lot worse.
You build a defense around him. You give him enough tools. I think you could win with him, much like the Chiefs are winning with Alex Smith.
Yeah, that's a good comp.
Yeah,
that's a good comp. All right, guys. Moving on to the undefeated Carolina Panthers, Jared, who just eked out a win against the Giants last week. Your sleeper pick of the week.
Yeah.
That was a close game, man. I give you some credit for sticking to your guns there. And it almost came true. I don't know why the Giants are that team, but they are. On the road to take on the Atlanta Falcons, Brandon. Falcons got a win last week.
They did, and I think that's where I may have caught you guys on a pick, because I think I took the Falcons where you guys did not.
I had them too.
Oh, well. I think we must have got Jared then, because I know I wasn't the...
I'm not going to pick them.
I know we weren't unanimous on the Falcons last week. But I'll be going with the Panthers. I'm going to ride out the season picking the Panthers, even though it seemed unlikely at the beginning of the season that they would go 16-0. Clearly, Jared had the one last pick, the one last go at who he thought
took a shot at it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They were the last one of the three teams where it really looked like they could win. Now, they are playing division opponents. They could be ones to spoil the Panthers, but I'm not going to pick it, so going Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them, too, just because Atlanta sucks. Carolina's obviously going to win this game. The only chance Carolina has to lose is if they sit Cam Newton, a bunch of their other starters, maybe Luke Kuechly and some other guys, in Week 17. But I don't know if they're really going to do that. I don't know if Rivera is the type of guy who's going to.
I don't think he is.
So I look for them to be the third best undefeated team of all time.
Of all the times. I'm going Carolina as well. I don't know that Rivera isn't one to rest guys. I mean, when he's first asked the question, I think his gut was, oh no, we're gonna play our guys and all that. And then you've heard him kind of start to backtrack off that a little bit and have to start to think about players' health and blah,
everybody's going down like flies.
Yeah, so I mean, you watch Cam take a couple hits in that game and get a little gimpy after a couple plays. That puts a little fear in you, I think, if you're Ron Rivera. But they're obviously going to play their guys this week. I like the Panthers on the road against the very inconsistent Atlanta Falcons.
13% with Atlanta, 87% with the Panthers.
That sounds about right. All right, the enigmatic game of the week to me. Who the heck knows? 5-9 Chicago Bears on the road to take on the 6-8 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa, Jared. Two teams that have been really up and down the last few weeks.
They have, but now the Bears are really down. I mean, they're completely crashing this season so they can get a better draft pick. I don't know if you guys caught any of the game last weekend, but they weren't even wanting to win that game. I'm going Tampa Bay at home because they're going to try and ride some of this momentum from the best quarterback in this last draft, carry it into next season, and rock and roll then. Tampa Bay.
Like Jared said, I think Tampa does have an 8-8 season to play for still at this point, and being at home against the Bears, I think that's why most people are leaning toward Tampa, perhaps 77% with Tampa, 23% with the Bears.
Yeah, taking Tampa just because they're home. I mean, it's that simple. You would think that Jay Cutler would be able to outduel Jameis Winston, but...
You'd think.
You know, I will say this about Jameis last week. Even though they got pretty spanked by the Rams, he played a pretty fine game. He made a couple really nice throws, some great decisions. He was tough. He moved around pretty well. He never really gave up. He's maybe a little too fiery right now for his own good. I think his emotions get the best of him here and there. Kind of like Cam was early in his career, right? I mean, that was the big knock on him. But you've watched Cam mature as he's growing up. I think Jameis can do the same thing. I was impressed with him this week, and I'm going to take Tampa at home.
Hey, Brand, when you go to doctor this whole thing and put it out, will you make sure that Adam saying that Jameis Winston played well is on repeat for at least 30 seconds so people can just get that in their head?
I've never said that he wasn't good. I just said he's the second best of the quarterbacks drafted this last year. That's all.
One thing, you know, you mentioned Jameis and, you know, kind of the way he's trying to show leadership, I think. And mm-hmm. and it's right now it does come across emotional, but I do think that I was impressed, at least in thinking that I could see that here's a quarterback who will be able to find that good balance, I think, mm-hmm. in a couple years, and at least he's showing a good effort. That's one thing where, right when you compare Mariota with Jameis, mm-hmm. Mariota much more of a quiet type leader, Jameis much more, you know, in your face, I think, more emotional, and just two very different styles, and it's interesting to watch.
Okay, so if you guys could put yourselves back at, what, 21, 22, 23 years old?
Oh, totally.
Which guy would you be? I mean, if he's over the top emotional, I was like, if I was playing a sport at that age, I would be exactly like that. I wouldn't even be able to control myself.
Oh, I'm Jameis, and I'm chucking my helmet at people probably. Like, it's awful. Like, I know it.
So just think about that.
No, I'm not killing him for it. I just said that's just how it is right now.
Mariota's like Eli Manning.
He's more like Russ.
And
I mean,
a little injury prone, but those injuries are so random that happened to him. You know, it's kind of unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. I think Mariota's wired a lot more like Russell Wilson. There's still some fire there. It's just that he's not going to get two up and two down.
Yeah.
Okay. Pittsburgh Steelers coming off their win against the Denver Broncos at Baltimore. Jared, you watched the Steelers last week. That Big Ben guy's pretty good. I don't know that. I mean, if the Broncos secondary isn't going to stop him, I don't know what one is. And beware Baltimore.
Well, you know, Pittsburgh went into halftime. They didn't make any adjustments. I think they adjusted us completely. They just came in. They're like, no, we're going to shut this down and we're going to destroy them in the second half. But, you know, we made a bunch of mistakes in that game on offense in the second half, not in the first half, mainly in the second half. But I think just to our defense a little bit, if we had any of our safeties, you know, three of our top four safeties were out of the game. And then that fourth one, David Bruton, played on a broken
broken right leg, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, broken right leg.
Holy smokes.
Over three quarters of the game. So Baltimore's not going to stop them. I'm going Pittsburgh. They're still one. They're the hottest offense, man. You can't guard them. I mean, no. Granted, we couldn't really double team because we didn't have the communication with our safeties, but you think Baltimore's going to? Yeah. I don't think so. I'm going Pittsburgh.
I don't even know if you had the starting safeties that it makes a difference. I just don't think
that made a big difference. Having two starting safeties over your third and fourth string guys?
Not when it comes to Big Ben. I'm sorry.
You don't
sorry.
Think
no,
having two
I really
starting
don't.
Well, let me just say this whole thing and make sure it's clear. So if you have your third and fourth string safeties, two guys who are getting the majority of snaps on defense who have only been on the team for 2 weeks, you don't think it's going to be an advantage to have your starters over those guys who just came on the team at all?
Sure, I think it's an advantage, but it's not going to make any difference in the end result. I mean, Big Ben's going to get his. I just thought there's just no stopping him right now.
Okay.
Well, tell me I'm wrong. Who stopped
You're
him
wrong.
This year? Who stopped him
I'm
this year?
Say, no, I'm just saying.
No,
arguing,
I mean, that's a
I'm
real
arguing,
question. Who
I'm just
stopped
arguing
him this
the
year?
Point of that our starting safeties wouldn't have helped.
They wouldn't
exactly
have.
Exactly what you said.
Because it hasn't mattered
no,
who he's played.
I think what Adam's saying, Jared, is maybe they would have helped, but it wouldn't have made
no,
a difference in the outcome.
They wouldn't have, though, which is kind of wrong.
He's saying the outcome would have been the same.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, okay, picture... Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. Say those guys go down and you're down to your third and fourth guy. Actually, your fourth and fifth guys. Don't you think you'd have a better chance in any game against any quarterback, Big Ben or otherwise? Or do you think that Earl Thomas and Cam out of the game wouldn't really matter against Big Ben?
All I know is with Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor in that game, Ben still put up a gajillion points and a gajillion yards. It didn't make a difference.
Well, I'm saying our 370-some might have been down to about 300, which probably, yeah, would have helped. Easily would have helped.
Either way, man. I'm just saying.
There, all right.
Yeah.
Solid football logic.
Yours isn't any more solid.
Don't help.
Not against what guy who's just, look, great offense beats great defense.
I get
defense.
What you're saying. I just disagree. It's stupid.
Exactly. It is stupid. Steelers.
Yeah. No, everybody is picking Steelers on this one. This is the second most lopsided pick of the week. 6% with the Ravens, 94% with Pittsburgh.
All righty. On to a game that nobody gives a crap about, the 4-10 Dallas Cowboys on the road against the Buffalo Bills, Brandon. Yeah.
Well, there you go. The Cowboys are down to whoever's playing quarterback now that Castle went out. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Kellen Moore. How about that? And going up against the Bills, who they don't have anything
small
to play
school
for.
Guy, you know.
They don't have anything to play for anymore. It's kind of one of those games that really doesn't matter, but you know, we got to pick it anyway. User consensus on this one, 86% with Buffalo. That feels like the way I should lean. Mm-hmm. I'm going that way. 14% with Cowboys. Not so much.
Yeah, I don't really feel very good about picking Buffalo, but I'm going to pick them anyways.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, so every time I picked against the Bills this year, it's come back to bite me. But the thing is I think that his defense hates Rex Ryan. I truly do. Mario Williams,
they're supposed to love him,
hates him.
Yeah,
like they there is some major internal strife, and this would be that game where people just start packing it in, keep getting them checks, and you know who gives a crap.
Mario Williams is going to be playing for the Broncos next year.
That's a pretty solid prediction.
He actually probably will. Yeah,
yeah, that's a pretty solid prediction.
Because we went Sean Phillips to Marcus Ware. We need another guy next
right.
year.
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's
that's going to happen.
There it is. Brandon with the crystal ball. I think it's a good prediction. Thing is the Cowboys showed some life when Kellen Moore came in. Small school guy, Boise State.
Boise.
And, yeah, I rooted for the kid. It was against my picks, but I rooted for him. You know, the little lefty.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Bills, but man, I'm really on the fence on this. It didn't feel like an easy pick.
I can't root for Kellen Moore when he's playing with Greg Hardy.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You can't do it.
All right. Yeah, that's true.
Let me put some perspective on this game.
Yeah. No, you're right on that one, Jared.
Yep.
How much
go
we
Bills.
Can judge and hate people.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Bills all around. Brandon, let's talk winners.
Let's talk winners because we did have some. We did have some. I was close to the top, but you, Adam, you did. You got me by 10 points this last week. And Jared, yeah. I don't know where you're at. I didn't go that far down. Was he 172?
He was.
Oh, well, good for you, Jared. You both got me. All right.
I had an awesome morning. I hadn't missed a pick all the way up until the afternoon games. I had gotten the Thursday, the Saturday game. Everything was just going awesome. And then the late games came, and it all went to hell.
Yeah, we got a little cute with the afternoon games. We picked some, you know, some underdogs for that that week.
Sure, sure.
So looking at the top this week, Complete Catfish leading the way, 1890 after week 15. And he's followed by Bald Eagles and Beer, Wally's Winners, and Natha. Those are some familiar names up at the top, but I think Complete Catfish took the lead over this last week. I could be wrong.
And Bald Eagles and Beer making a surge back up
the leaderboard.
Kind of rooting for him a little bit, you know, because he was up there before. He kind of lost track of him, and since God knows I'm not going to be up there.
We had a lot of people, guys, at 180 this last week, and I think that had a lot to do with people picking Jacksonville, I think, over Atlanta. That was a common one that people missed. And then there was one of the afternoon games where I think maybe it was the Baltimore, not Baltimore, but the Denver-Pittsburgh game that was maybe a little bit tougher for people to pick. But
yeah, that was a coin flip.
Yeah, it was a coin flip game.
It was a pretty good game. Tale of two halves, though. That was a solid
game. I only got to watch the fourth quarter of it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Well, because the Hawks were playing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I didn't get it.
Yeah,
I
was, yeah.
Why
you're
would
like,
you only watch
why
the
would you have not
quarter?
Watched the whole break? Well, you know, I was watching my team.
So running down the list of winners this last week, it's Josh K, Seahawks for Life, 3782, Sloppy McFloppy, Jorms.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Jorm 17, Lynchpin, True Shot 21, 3-Row-3, Cadzillos, and Complete Catfish. Okay. There you go.
Oh, and yeah, Complete Catfish. They had emailed in. What was dude's name? I'm totally blanking.
Well, let's see. Was it Mark? Was Mark the one that? Yep, Mark Burrell in Danville,
there
California.
Is.
There it is.
There it is.
I knew I had it handy.
It's close to Mark Brunell. Come on.
Well, yeah.
It's easy to remember. And then in
the association, man.
I gotcha.
Seahawkers Pod Patron League, the Lost Alaskan up on top, 1830. Followed by Fur Tejada and Adam. There you are, number three. Well done, sir.
I like being number three. That's a good number, three.
And we had quite a few people come in at 170, including you, Adam, along with DCH, Do Better Blues, Fur Tejada, Tunbridge Hawk, the 12 Cents, all up there in the top six. And so we went back a couple weeks and did tiebreakers. And the 12 Cents, you came out on top. So,
which is also a sneaky, clever name.
It is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Sixth Sense, except doubled.
Right. That's why it's sneaky clever.
Yeah.
Now it's not quite as sneaky, Brandon.
I know. It's like giving away.
Thinking about it for a minute.
It's like giving away the ending to Sixth Sense, you know?
Yeah, right.
Bruce Willis is dead.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
it's all right. The only spoilers you can't give out on this show right now are Star Wars ones. So
yeah.
Just remember that.
Hey, if you haven't seen Sixth Sense by now, you know.
Yeah,
you're not trying very hard.
Yeah, that's a you problem. All right, guys, well, moving on with the picks. Another game between teams that really don't have a lot on the line anymore. I think Blaine Gabbert's resurgence has kind of come back down to earth a little bit. We have the 4-10 49ers taking on the Detroit Lions at home, who won against the Saints the other night, Jared. A couple of teams that I'm sure you care passionately about.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch this game. But, you know, I think Detroit maybe beat New Orleans was a product of Drew Brees' foot. I don't know how much that really played into it, but I think San Francisco has played much, much better in the second half of the season. They kind of got some fire under with Blaine Gabbert, and I think Detroit needs to lose for some draft pick status. I don't think they have much going on. I'm picking San Francisco just because I think they're playing for a little more. They got a little bit of pride to play for right now, and I don't think Detroit ever had it. So
I learned my lesson picking San Francisco last week. I'm not picking them again for the rest of the season. Going Lions. The Lions winning was a product of a bad Saints defense. I don't know if the 49ers defense is that much better. And I am going with the 87% who are going with Detroit.
Wow. What Brandon said.
Okay, moving on. This is like an upset special. I didn't know it was going to be that bad.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well,
feeling worse about it.
All right, guys.
Out here on an island.
All you Hawks fans, you watched the 3-11 Cleveland Browns last week. They now travel on the road to the white hot Kansas City Chiefs. Brandon, they have winners of 7 straight, I believe, the Chiefs.
I think it might be 8 now.
Yeah. And then some bad teams, but also some good teams in that stretch as well. So you can't discount the whole thing. I don't know that I buy that they're that good, though. To start 0-5 and then rattle off basically 8 in a row. Like, this is a crazy team.
They're the second best team to rattle off 8 wins in a row this season, the first being the Carolina Panthers. So there you go. Congratulations to the Chiefs in that sense.
I think the Patriots would disagree with that.
Did they go 8-0? Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
They went a lot more than that.
Yeah, until we beat them.
There are a couple. Yeah, what are the... Okay. Well, strike that from the record.
And the Bengals would disagree, too.
They're the...
I think Kansas City over the Bengals.
Right, meow?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
With A.J. McCarron? Yeah, he ain't moving the ball.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with A.J. McCarron. Yeah.
I guess I should say they're the second best team to win their last 8 games.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Well,
that's
played.
That's better.
How about with a current 8 game or more winning streak?
Yeah, exactly.
Did that work? Okay.
There. I'm glad we ironed that out.
Yeah. We got to have those made up stats like every other show, right? You know, like Russell Wilson throwing for 3 or more touchdowns in 5 straight games without an interception while doing the Mexican tap dance. Like, you know, just everybody's got some made up stat, like with enough things like attached to it until it's something unique.
Yeah. Although I don't know if I agree with you about the Russell Wilson being kind of a crazy one. I think that's pretty cool. But I don't know about the dancing. I missed that part.
You read that article, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We can talk about that at the end.
Yeah, we're going
to. Okay.
Anyway, this is the most lopsided among the picks, guys. Everybody going with the Chiefs. Well, everybody except for 4%.
Ooh. I, too, am going with the Chiefs. I think, you know, they did start out pretty bad. However, if you remember the game that they played against the Broncos, in all likelihood, they had 5 turnovers. They should have won that game, but they lost it. They lost that game. We didn't beat them. And they lost a couple of other close games. They've been a pretty good team all year. I think they had 1.5 clunkers throughout this year. That was pretty much it. Other than that, they've been a consistent team. I don't know what they're going to do in the playoffs because you never really know, but it does seem like Alex Smith has gotten a little bit better. And, I mean, obviously in this game, I'm going with Kansas City over Cleveland, but Kansas City still has a chance to win the AFC West. And so they have a lot more to play for than most teams. So this is going to be a battle. We can't afford to lose, and they definitely want to mark, you know, kind of push us off of our spot because we've won it several years now in a row. So Kansas City's going to be playing hard these last 2 weeks.
I agree. Kansas City with the outside shot to win the division still, but also trying to play themselves into that 5 seed and, you know, being able to take on the AFC South winner. I think that's
nice.
Motivating as well. Yeah. So,
you don't want to let your team know that that's your mentality is to play for that 5th spot. You want a division title, man.
Sure,
that's
yeah. If it's still
thing.
On the board, you bet. That's what you're going for. No doubt.
Like you said, they're sitting pretty good, though, regardless of what happens.
Yeah. So, Chiefs all the way. Although, look, I thought Manziel acquitted himself well in the game last week. He
get to watch that.
Yeah, really. Occupied with something else, huh?
Yeah, something going on.
Okay. But, Chiefs all the way. All right, guys, AFC East matchup. This is a very interesting game. I actually had a really difficult time choosing this. In fact, I'm changing my pick as I'm sitting here right now. It is the 12-2 New England Patriots, Jared, on the road against Fitzmagic and the 9-5 New York Football Jets.
You know, I've been a little bit let down by the Jets' defense, to be honest with you. I don't think they are as good as everybody thought they were coming into the season, especially not as good as I thought they were going to be. And New England with Gronk, I'm sorry, it's lights out. You're not going to stop him. I mean, Amendola will probably play from what I hear.
Oh, last I heard, he was out through a lot of the playoffs.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh,
catfish!
I was reading the wrong source.
Well, I don't know. I may be too.
Probably because the last one I read was like Sunday evening.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be back. Anyways, if you got Gronk, you're going to win. That's pretty much it. And I'm taking them over the Jets. The Jets aren't going to topple New England, especially late in the year like this. I'm going New England.
I'm with Adam in that I'm a little bit on the fence on this one. I like the way Fitzpatrick's been playing. I think you called him Fitzmagic, and it's kind of the going nickname for him right now. I'm going to be rooting for the Jets, but I do think that the Patriots still win, even on the road in New York. Going Patriots, 78%. A lot of people liking New England in this game.
Well, and if you look at it, Jamie Collins is back from that mysterious illness that had plagued him for a long time, and boy, does he make a difference when he's in there. And I don't know if the Jets' defense is going to be able to compensate for him and Chandler Jones. I don't see them beating this New England team. I don't know.
All right, Amendola will not miss playoff time as per report, but not saying how much of the regular season he's going to miss for the rest of the way. So.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I listened to my last one on Sunday, which you're like, oh, he'll be back. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not following Patriot injury news with like the bated breath, that's for sure.
No, but I'm writing Patriot hate mail.
But the Patriots are really dinged up. They're really dinged up. And yeah, he still has Gronk. And of course, that's it's a big deal. But the Jets, even if they went out, there's a chance that they still miss the playoffs. But I think they're very motivated at this point. I think they have a lot more to play for than the Patriots at this point. They're at home. And, man, I really like the way Fitzpatrick is playing. I really do. He's a pro's pro. I tweeted out during the Jets game, which never happens. But I said, look, I'll say it. If I'm the Jets, I'm hitching my star to Fitzpatrick for the next couple years. Because I don't know who you're going to get that's better. You're not going to get a high draft pick with the way you're finishing this year. And look, he comes out and he's tough as nails. He can get you a few yards with his legs if he has to. His beard is magnificent. He's accurate. He's a leader. The team rallies around him. And sure, he'll make a boneheaded throw here and there. But man, he really is a guy that Chan Gailey trusts and trusts him in his system. And he's having the best year of his career. I'm taking the Jets. I don't feel good about it. This is just a gut.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
this is
Fitzpatrick.
Like picking the
Giants. Did you guys see him?
Yeah.
Did you guys see him in his post game interview? Just had a big old gouge out of his nose, just right mm-hmm. between his eyes, and just gave the greatest interview. And one of his teammates came up and was giving him a hard time. And I don't know. It just seems like that's a team that's having fun. And it wouldn't surprise me if they won. It doesn't feel like the right pick for me.
Okay. Well, fun's over when New England comes to town.
Yeah,
probably. But hey, what about see, I picked the Jets last time they played the Patriots too.
You did.
That didn't work out well. But maybe they'll get one. Who knows? But or Jared not. asked the question earlier about Kirk Cousins as your quarterback going forward for the next 4 or 5 years. If you're a Jet fan and Fitzpatrick is your quarterback going for the next 4 to 5 years, you liking that?
I don't know. He has some ups and downs, and he makes some bonehead mistakes. Yeah, he's having a nice little run now, but I don't know. How old is he? I don't know the answer to that, but I think I'd be happier with Kirk Cousins because he plays a little more energy. I mean, I do like him. I don't not like him at all, but I don't know how I feel about him because I don't think his play has been very consistent at all.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick is 33.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, okay.
I'm out on that.
I didn't realize he was that old. I was thinking he's more like 30, 31.
Yeah, I thought he was younger too.
I did too. I thought he was going to be right around 30, but no, well, for 4 or 5 years. Nah.
Rest in peace, Fitzpatrick.
<All right. laughs> I'd take him for two at this point.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Another AFC matchup between two teams that I'm tired of having to deal with in the picks each week. 6-8 Indianapolis Colts. Matt Hasselbeck will be at the helm yet again. Bumped him, just totally bruised and beat up. Look, when you're that old and you're the oldest non-kicker in the league, that basically your body can handle 1 to 2 starts, but 4, 5, 6, 7 starts, no, not going to be able to do it. And he goes on the road to take the absolute dumpster fire that is Miami. I picked them last week. That was stupid. Freaking Finns. I hate them. Brandon, who you got?
When Matt Hasselbeck, as beat up as he is still a better option than Charlie Whitehurst, that tells you something, right? That tells you a little something.
Nothing I already didn't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. This is a hard one. I'm, like you said, I coin flip, I guess. It's kind of leaning that way as far as picks goes. Users more on board with the Colts, but being on the road, it kind of is making me lean toward the 44% with the Dolphins. I'm going Miami.
Yeah, last week we talked about that rib injury to Matt Hasselbeck and how that really completely derails him. And Adam, you talked about his age where, yeah, you maybe got a couple starts. I don't like him in a duel against Tannehill, who is worse than Cousins, so I am going Miami at home.
Oh, well, this was an easy pick for me.
Catfish!
The Finns, and I'm going with Indy.
I might switch up and be with you, Adam, because...
Please do. Both of you, please do this.
I hate them so much.
But the Dolphins...
This is a sheer hate pick. After they screwed me last week after I picked them. And, they didn't even show up in that game. They got trounced.
The only... I'm going down their schedule, guys, and... I think they've only won 2 games at home. One was against Baltimore, and they eked it out 15-13. And
is that the Flacco days, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still.
And they beat my Texans 44-26.
before the Texans had caught fire.
That was the game right after they switched coaches and like they were all fired up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Those are their two wins. So I'm going Colts.
Third will be Indy.
I got to switch. I'm going Indy.
All right.
I don't really feel great about mine.
Probably not. No.
Whatever.
All right. Well, speaking of your Texans, Brandon, the division leading, AFC South leading 7-7 Houston Texans on the road to take on the Mariota-less Tennessee Titans. Yeah, I think you know what to pick here.
On the road, though, I mean, you never know. But this is incredibly lopsided, guys. I'm looking at the consensus on this one, and I'm really surprised. Houston with over 90%, 91 Whoa. To the Titans 9 on this one. A lot of people just not impressed with the Titans and the Texans.
Are that impressed with Brandon Whedon?
That's what I was just going to bring up. Brandon Whedon at the helm.
He's an upgrade, though.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. He's got some experience. He may not be the best quarterback, but he's got a good arm. He can make throws.
Jerry Jones says he has the best arm.
Throws the nicest ball.
Yeah. He's ever seen.
He's but yeah, I'm Boyer, though, I think.
I'm sticking with the division-leading Texans. You know, that was kind of a de facto AFC South championship between the Texans and Colts. And if they win this week against the Titans, they've run away with it. The Colts aren't going to be able to catch them.
You know, I'm with Houston, too, because I do think that Whedon, with his experience heading into a team where he doesn't have to be a leader because they already have that there, J.J. Watt leads everyone in Texas. So I kind of like the position he's coming into. I think it could make them maybe somewhat of a, you know, one game winning contender if they do get into the playoffs, depending on the game. So I just like what he does. I think he can move the ball between the 20s and get some field goals, which their defense can hold against field goals. So I like that. The reason this was a tough pick for me is because Tennessee does have Zach Mettenberger. Now, 9% of people were probably from Louisiana who picked Tennessee in this game. So Mettenberger, I was actually kind of big on him coming out of college, and they obviously had a chance to draft Mariota. They went with him. That's what you do. He's not as good as Mariota, but watched him come in. I did watch this game, and he actually made some good throws. And he's a young guy with some fire, and so it was kind of a tough choice because you never know when a guy like this can come in and actually do something. But against Houston's defense, good luck. I'm going Houston.
Yeah, I kind of hope Houston starts BJ Daniels. I really wish that they would do that just because I love BJ Daniels. But
I don't know who that is.
He's the guy that has been on and off the Seahawks roster a lot. He plays quarterback. He plays receiver. He plays kick returner. He plays everything. Like, there's nothing BJ Daniels can't do. And he's kind of electric. He's fun. But look.
Can't get on the field, so.
Well, I mean,
there's that.
I just said he was fun. I didn't say he was awesome. Look, Brandon Whedon played pretty well when he was with the Cowboys. I thought he got a raw deal.
Yeah, for Castle.
Yeah,
that was terrible.
Yeah, I think that was a clear downgrade for them.
I
said it at the time, and it proved out to be the same. And I think you guys both had said the same exact thing. I think Whedon's serviceable, and I like the Texans D. Look, Tennessee's just really that bad, and I think that's why it's the 9%. And that's nothing against Mettenberger. I think he's one of those guys.
Good
he's
backup.
An upper tier backup
yeah.
or a low level starter.
Yeah.
That's who he is. And so, I mean, they're in decent hands, but the rest of the team sucks around him. So
is Mettenberger that quarterback that J.J. Watt really doesn't like?
Yes,
the selfie kid.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
He's the selfie kid. So he might end his career.
This is gonna be a long day. This is gonna be a long day for Mettenberger.
I mean, okay, so can we talk about the Titans just for maybe like a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mariota is getting better. He proved you can win some games mm-hmm. with him. He can be a franchise guy. And you saw Green.
Best quarterback came in out of this draft.
Second best. Green Beckham, that receiver who's like 6'5".
Yeah.
Had a really good game.
Yep.
So if Tennessee can maybe give him a little bit of defense, do you think that these guys could actually make this big improvement? Or do you think they're going to be like Tampa Bay, be a 4-win team to maybe an 800-ish team?
Look, I think the Titans are a good coach and about three good defensive pieces away from being a very good team. I mean, you talked
Maybe
about
that's where Mario Williams goes.
You talked about Dorial Green Beckham, and he's really
that's
come on throughout the end of the year. Justin Hunter's a good receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have weapons. They also drafted that kid out of Baylor. It's not Hopkins. What the heck is his last name?
We're doing
name?
Good with names today.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I can't remember.
I'm not up on my Titans wide receivers. but look, I mean, when I've watched him play, he's been good. And so Brandon's going to look it up and bail it out for me as I just keep talking. But I really do think that they're one good coach away And a little bit of defensive help from being a very competitive team, especially in that dreck of the division. I have high hopes for the Titans, really. So if I'm a Titans fan, I feel pretty good about life.
Is the guy that you're thinking of Trey McBride?
No, but I loved him coming out of the draft.
Yeah, I thought you did too. So here's their...
Two years ago, they drafted the kid out of Baylor, or the year before.
Yeah, here's their wide receivers. Harry Douglas, Doriel Green Beckham, Andrew Terzil, Kendall Wright, Trey McBride.
Kendall Wright, that's who I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. I thought you already mentioned him.
So if you guys had to make a prediction, who's the next coach of the Tennessee Titans?
Sean Payton.
Yeah.
That was my second guess behind Josh McDaniels.
That's a good
I think
guess,
McDaniels
too.
Might go there with a good coach, or Adam Gase. I think they might get him a good quarterbacks coach to be their head coach. So I think it's one of those guys, but I think Sean Payton makes the most sense for a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Or Sean Payton is coaching the St. Louis Rams with Peyton Manning as quarterback. We already said that.
Yeah. All the reports have come out, and they said Jeff Fisher is going nowhere. So.
I know, but that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll say that until it's the last week of the season.
Until they fire him.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that was a lot of AFC South talk right there.
Well, it's kind of interesting.
It's kind of interesting.
Sure. Yeah. Let's talk about beer.
Okay.
All right.
That's more interesting.
Yeah. So, Jared, we talked about this earlier, the Tramway Rye Pale Ale. I went on a little gush fest about Phillipsburg Brewing Company. I know is this your first taste of a P-Berg brew?
No, I've had other ones at Brewfest, but this is the first time I've had the Rye Pale Ale.
Okay. How are you feeling?
I love it. Every beer I've had from Phillipsburg Brewing Company, mm-hmm. has been really good. And their brewmaster actually came out of the Kettle House.
That's exactly
in
true.
In Missoula, which is one of our best breweries.
And he's a cool dude. He's always hanging around the brewery. His dog is in there with him.
Wouldn't you be if you owned a brewery? Wouldn't you just be hanging around?
Yeah, I wouldn't be sad about it. Like, yeah.
My job rules.
Yeah. I mean, he's living life. I'm telling you, man, if there's ever a chance for me to live in Phillipsburg, I'm doing it at some point. But, look, we'll read a little about it here. The Tramway Rye Pale Ale. The bimetallic tramway carried loads of silver ore down from the mountain mines to the mill in town. And Tramway Rye
you're doing good.
Nailed it.
Yep. And Tramway Rye Pale Ale carries loads of flavor directly to your palate. Spiced with a touch of rye and dry hopped with whole flower Chinook hops. This balanced pale ale is sure to keep your taste buds working at full capacity and your tongue working a lot slower and you can barely read. That I can tell you for sure. But I like this beer. 7% by volume alcohol.
But you don't taste that alcohol.
No.
It's pretty mild. Brandon, don't you wish you were drinking it?
Well, then that's my one criticism about this beer, because I am in Montana. I went to a couple places, couldn't find it, so I'm... going dry this week.
In their defense, I think this is year two for Phillipsburg Brewing Company. They're just getting going. But what's cool,
I gotta say, I dig the bottle, guys. I dig the look of the bottle.
That's what I just want to talk about, is the packaging. Why is the screw-on-top aluminum bottle a really cool deal, Jared?
Because you can reseal it.
Which works well for when you're on...
anywhere on water.
There we go. This is a great river beer, because you can get it in the twist-off can that you can actually just put the lid back on when you go through some rough water going down the river. That's fine. You know what it also does for you? Makes it a hot springs beer. You're going to the natural hot springs. You don't want to take glass and be that jerk. No, you've got this, and it's awesome. The design on the can itself is very cool as well. I like the colors. They're same colors as Brown's colors, to give you an idea,
yep.
I guess.
Do you know who first came out with the aluminum screw top can?
Mm-hmm.
Miller Lite.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to
this isn't
it.
This isn't the same shape though, guys. It's
no,
a little
it's
bit
not.
Stubbier, right?
Right.
No, it's a pint, and it says contents colon beer 1 pint.
I don't like colon in my beer.
You don't? No.
No.
This went straight to my colon.
might destroy a colon. I don't know.
Yeah, but cool beer, cool brewery. Good stuff and cool packaging. I give it all the thumbs up. Okay, moving on. Jacksonville. Schizophrenic Jacksonville. On the road against Drew Brees and his bad foot, Brandon. Are you taking bad foot Brees?
I'm having a hard time thinking that, with the reports being as dire as they are about how much trouble Brees is having moving around. Jacksonville doesn't have the greatest pass rush in the world, But that's got to be hard for moving around. And plus, that Saints defense isn't getting any better. If this game were in Jacksonville, it would be a no-brainer to me that I'd take Jacksonville. It makes me think that it's kind of a coin flip game with it being in New Orleans and Drew Brees being hobbled. But I'm leaning Jaguars here, taking Jacksonville.
I was kind of leaning Jaguars too, but then I was going to just reiterate everything that you said about this being a home game for New Orleans, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, this torn plantar fascia or whatever it is, Peyton Manning can't even play with a partially torn one.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees is going to go out there and play with one. Like you said, Jacksonville's pass rush, not great. I'm going New Orleans at home.
So last time I saw somebody or a quarterback that was above the age of 35 with torn plantar fascia play with it, he hucked up like a million picks in a game. I don't know that Drew Brees is any different than Peyton Manning in that regard.
Yeah, he's still got an arm.
Well,
he still has an arm.
Yeah.
Sure, but you got to be able to plant your feet. I think that's tough. And look, I like the Allens in this matchup against the Saints' crappy secondary. That's Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson for the Jags. I think Bortles is going to have a big day. I think this is Jacksonville big. I'm taking the Jags.
64% with the Saints, only 36% with Jacksonville.
All right.
Jacksonville just lets me down when I think they're not going to.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah, well,
they're going to do it again this week.
So I picked against them last week, so I figure out how to pick for them this week. I mean, that's who they are, right?
Yeah, they're going to lose.
Yeah. All right. NFC West divisional game, Jared. Brandon and I talked about this on the Seahawkers podcast earlier, so we won't get into it too much ourselves, but St. Louis Rams on the road in Seattle.
I don't think St. Louis stands much of a chance in this game on a talent level at the quarterback position, especially since Russell Wilson's been playing so well. But it is a divisional game, and against the Rams, you always have to wonder about that because they do always play you tough. So even if it is a close game, I still don't think with the way you guys are playing right now that they're going to be able to pull it out. I'm going Seahawks.
Yeah, this was an easy pick for us, I think, because we pick the Seahawks every week, and 92% going with Seattle.
I think it's going to be no more than a 10-point game. Just because of the history between these two teams.
Yeah, and St. Louis, they seem to like playing in Seattle.
They love it!
Because they're not used to noise. They play in a dome.
They hate us so much.
Like playing in a hollow leg. I don't know.
Yeah, so, Hawks. All right, way to avoid your negative 30 this week, Jared.
It'll be back next week.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
All right, no Monday night game this week, eh? All right, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, no, there is. I'm sorry. I was reading
Come on, man. I just thought you were being a catfish.
I thought you guys were the Sunday night game. I'm sorry. With the way that it shows up on my screen, never mind. Just call me Steve Harvey. basically, let's talk about Giants-Vikings, the Sunday night game first, and leave the last two, what I think are the intriguing games. Jared, the Giants played their hearts out last week, and they take on Teddy, who had 5 scores on the day last week. That's 2 big weeks in a row for Teddy. Where are you going with this?
I am going to Minnesota to pick them in this game because the Giants, that was all they had left. They gave everything out there. They got nothing left. I mean, Coughlin is defending Beckham, saying he was, what was the word, enticed or whatever it was. I don't know. Beckham had a meltdown. He won't even be playing in this game. I'm going Minnesota. That's a giant mismatch.
Yeah, Beckham hurt his team really badly by going after Norman like that and getting it. He was lucky he didn't get ejected in that game. And what it did, it just put him off for this very next game. And this could have been a winnable game for them. They could have used this game in that very winnable NFC East, but I'm going Minnesota on this one, and it's not real close, 79% with the Vikings.
I'll be rooting for the Giants, but this is the Vikings all the way. A gigantic mismatch. I don't know who they're getting back on defense yet, if they're getting Anthony Barr or Lindell Joseph or Harrison Smith back yet, but if they get any one of those three guys back on defense, that makes this even more lopsided. But Teddy's playing great ball right now, and AP is still AP, leading the league in rushing. Mm-hmm. The Giants are just going to have a long day.
You know, Brandon, I got to hand it to you. I never even looked at that perspective on this Odell Beckham Jr. thing about how you really cost your team.
Big time.
Because you are in the playoff. I never even thought about that. I was like, man, you're acting like a child out there, and you just had a meltdown like John Starks.
Well,
you know, so,
that's a great analogy, actually.
But I never really thought about it on that. Like, you got to play beyond yourself and think about your team because you're still in this, and now all of a sudden Eli doesn't have his major target, and now where did you put your team at? That was a good point. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, he hurt the Giants bad.
Well, and Coughlin said that he thought about taking him out of the game, and that's what you have to do. If you're a coach in control of your team, take Beckham out. Give him a talking to, give him that perspective, because as a coach, you can say that to him. We're in the middle of a playoff hunt. I need you to be of your right mind. And clearly he wasn't. So, yeah.
I mean, and aren't you guys surprised with Coughlin's reputation as a disciplinarian
right.
that he didn't take him out of the game? I was floored that didn't happen when I saw after the fact what happened. I didn't watch that game live. So,
well, and then the fact that he, first of all, didn't take him out of the game, doesn't even look like you really even talked to him much about it at all. And then to sit here and defend him for his actions after the game. So none of this seems Coughlin-like to me. And so I don't understand the way he handled it during the game, and especially don't understand how he handled it after the game, defending his receiver.
Which is crazy because the officials went over to each coach and warned them because it was getting out of hand. And it wasn't just those guys. It was one of the more it went beyond chippy to borderline violent.
Gotcha. Well, to play devil's advocate for just like 1 second, Panthers are out there before the game and pregame warmups with their baseball bats, apparently threatening.
I don't know if that was true or not.
I've seen the pictures of them on the field with the baseball bats.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's 1,000,000% true.
Did they do anything with the baseball bats?
Well, no, but okay. I'm playing devil's advocate. So guys are out there. They're threatening you with a baseball bat, Jared. You talked about Jameis a little earlier in the pod being 22 and being a little hot-headed and how that might be kind of how you roll, right? Okay. Well, you're Odell Beckham Jr. You're 22 years old. You've had sunshine blown up your ass for the last 2 years. You think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Guys are threatening you with a bat. And although it's BS, we all know it's BS, at 22 years of age, can you see yourself?
Well,
just a little bit.
I understand why Odell Beckham Jr. acted the way he did. He had a meltdown, and this is what happens in meltdowns. You retaliate in the ways that are kind of out of character. I didn't think he was this type of person to do this kind of stuff. And so I'm not questioning why he did it, what he did, or anything like that. I mean, he acted a little out of character because he was in a broken state at the time. But still, I can't help but question Coughlin's two decisions here that don't seem to pan out right. But yeah, I get why he did it.
Yeah, I mean, another thing is everybody's like, oh, it's so bad that he speared the dude in the head. Do you think he was really aiming there? Do you think he had a plan when he was going in? I think he was just going in with his helmet and happened to hit Josh Norman in the head.
No, I think he knew right where his head was. You could see that hit, and you could see he had him lined up, and he went right at his head with his helmet. That was calculated.
I don't know.
Even if it was only calculated for a half of a second, it was still calculated.
I don't think he was calculating much at that point.
I don't know.
But it's bad. It's bad. You can't be doing that.
No.
And he deserves the one-game suspension. It hurt his team. All right, guys, on to some more interesting NFL topics. How about the 10-4 Green Bay Packers took on the Raiders last week and really kind of put it on them early, let the Raiders back in the game, but then were able to close it out. Aaron Rodgers looking a little better. On the road against the Arizona Cardinals, Brandon, and Carson Palmer hurts his finger. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, out for good for the season. What do you think?
I want to pick the Packers just because I would have hoped that the Cardinals would have lost last week's game and given this the Seahawks something to play for in the final week. But still, the Packers are playing for a number two seed at this point, and they have a chance to put themselves in a good spot with a win over the Cardinals. So they're playing for a home field advantage. They're playing for a bye, and so are the Cardinals, which is what makes this matchup so interesting. It's the Packers offense. The guys around Aaron Rodgers don't seem to be helping them out. They're going to miss Matthews, I think, on the defensive side for Arizona, but I still think they have enough on the defensive side to give Aaron Rodgers a lot of trouble there in Arizona. I don't like it, but I'm picking Arizona.
That's an interesting. You know, when I first looked at this game, I thought it was pretty interesting because Green Bay has been winning a lot of games recently, but I don't seem to think that they're a team that has changed in talent level, in wide receiver communication, or any of this. They just seem to be winning games that they probably should. And Adam, I'm going to put a sign in your front yard that says starting safety lives matter. Because this is another one that goes down and it does make
that's a
difference.
Good, that's a good one.
This sign will be up tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
But that really hurts. He's had 89 tackles this year, 5 interceptions. You can line him up in the slot on the outside as a safety. It does hurt, but I think their defense, they communicate well. They're one of the more well-rounded teams in the NFL, and especially at home when they're trying to protect that one seed and carry this momentum into the postseason. I still think Arizona in the long run has a better team than Green Bay. I think they're going to win this game at home. I think it'd be a little closer if it was in Green Bay, but I don't think they got a chance here.
So here's the question I have about the Packers. They've started winning games and being a little more consistent. And you said, I don't know that team has changed. Well, they have changed in one way. And that's Mike McCarthy has taken over the play calling duties from the offensive coordinator. And that's when things started to click a little bit more. Now, I don't know. I don't know how much weight I give that. I don't know if that's enough for them to overcome that offensive line, which is just dreck. It's not good. Eddie Lacy is hit or miss any given game. I think the Tyrann Mathieu injury is gigantic for the Cardinals. And I think we've all been waiting as Seahawks fans for that one aging Cardinals player to have that big injury. And maybe Chris Johnson was that when we saw that, but they've turned to David Johnson and he seems to.
Yeah, their running game's picked up. They got some fire in those young guys.
Yeah, I mean, they've played some poor rushing defenses, but that's okay. I don't buy into the running game at this point, but Carson Palmer's finger injury, I think, could be huge too. Is his index finger on his throwing hand, and that thing was pointing the wrong direction.
It was just dislocated. The soreness will wear off.
He's an old dude, man. I don't know how fast.
I don't know.
That...
You dislocate a finger, you wrap it up, it'll be fine. And once the swelling goes down, it's okay.
I remember Steve DeBerg having some struggles with that later in his career. And I'd love to pick the Packers here, but I'm going with the Cardinals. I think they have enough to take an inconsistent Packer team at home and really just put the screws to them.
Yeah, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm going to be leaning on David Johnson quite a bit more this week. He had a great game last week. You know, Adam might kind of poo-poo it a little bit because it wasn't against a great rushing defense, but that's okay. It was a huge game, and I think he might be their best option in that spot forward.
Oh, he is. He is their best option. He's not a bad player
either.
Well,
and if this offensive line can get an old Chris Johnson, who really didn't look all that great, he got better at reading holes, but if they can get old Chris Johnson some holes to run through, they can get these young fiery guys with some holes, as long as they're patient enough to read. So, I mean, the thing about the Cardinals is, are these running backs going to have enough experience going into the playoffs to be able to have the patience to run against some of these defenses, some of these offensive line on these running plays that take a little time to develop? That's kind of where I'm at. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know that the Cardinals have been in a rushing juggernaut at any point during the season. I mean,
they're pretty good.
They were doing okay.
I don't know where they rank, but I don't think they can be all that low.
They're a pass to set up the run type team. They aren't going to run the ball down your throat.
It hasn't been for years, and it's never has been under BA. But I
like Bruce Arians, man.
I can't stand the guy.
Because he beat you at home?
He beat us once at home. Congratulations. It's
almost embarrassing, like the bitterness in your voice when you talk about it.
because I say you did it once, good job.
Because
Jared,
say it like a middle school girl.
I think if it sounded like a middle school girl, I'd be up about 3 octaves. No, that's just like, congratulations. Well done. Like,
Jared,
what do you want?
Here's
like,
the thing.
A trophy?
Here's the thing, Jared.
Yes.
When Jim Harbaugh leaves your division, you have to grasp on to that next best coach and to just, you know, find a place to direct that sports hate in you. And and as a Seahawks fan, you can't direct it toward Jeff Fisher because he's been a 7-9, 8-8 coach every single year. You can't really direct it to, you know, Jim Tom Sula, Tom Jim Sula.
Tim John Sula.
Sue Jim Tomla. So it has to.
I didn't know he was from across the pond.
Yeah.
It has to go to Bruce Arians.
Okay.
Yeah. It is stupid hats.
He wins coach of the year when he's with the Colts. I mean, he's done his due diligence, and he like they say, he should have been a head coach a long time ago. He knows the game. He knows how to relate to players. I think he's a good coach, and he's he's turned this Cardinals team around. I mean, unfortunately, if Carson Palmer does have one of those season-ending injuries, they're completely done. I mean, their stats with him and without him are just night and day.
74% with the Cardinals in this game, only 26% with the Packers.
Whatever, Arians is an arrogant
catfish.
Moving on.
Name me a head coach in the NFL who's not.
Besides the point, Jared, don't bother me with your facts,
you
logic, and reason.
There.
Okay,
that's how you get
I don't want to deal with your facts, logic, and reason. All right, one of the more compelling games, A.J. McCarron in the Cincinnati Bengals, who trounced the Niners, I guess you could say, go on the road to take on the Denver Broncos, Brandon. Osweiler had his ups and downs last game. Jared mentioned some of the injuries in the Broncos secondary. What are you thinking here? Because the Bengals maybe are a little more solid all-around team than maybe we thought.
I'm thinking that the Bengals, they got a win over a bad San Francisco team, and maybe I'm a little bit bitter that I picked San Fran in that game, but congrats to A.J. McCarron for getting the first win as an Alabama quarterback in 28 years, so he has that going for him, but that was up against the 49ers defense and the 49ers secondary. He's now going against a big boy defense and a big boy secondary in the Denver Broncos in Mile High. There's no way I can pick the Bengals in this game. Going Denver.
You know, if there was Andy Dalton in this game and our starting safeties were playing in this game, which Darian Stewart might be back, so there's a plus. But if Andy Dalton was in this game, this would be week two of just another awesome matchup. But our defense is better than their defense, hands down. I don't think anybody will argue with that. And our offense with Brock Osweiler, man, we struggled in the second half. We really did. But he had a couple of fumbled snaps. We started a couple of drives with holding penalties. And for the first time in his five starts, I saw one thing from Brock Osweiler that I hadn't seen yet. So he took this hit on his left shoulder. He was hurt the rest of the game. But in that second, halfway through the third quarter, when they'd started off a couple drives really slow and couldn't get anything going, for the first time, he was rattled. He was trying to get out from under center too fast, and he wasn't making these quick decisions. And you could see when he was in the pocket getting rushed, he was rattled because he didn't want to get hit again because that shoulder was bothering him bad. And the receivers weren't getting open like they were. They started pressing him a little bit harder. So things kind of fell apart in the second half for the second week in a row. But I think Brock Osweiler at this point, even with his growing pains, even though some of us were happy to see him get rattled finally, so he knows what it's like to be in that situation, he's better than McCarron. I'm going with the Broncos at home, obviously.
Yeah, A.J. McCarron isn't Ben Roethlisberger. That's basically what it boils down to me. Like, I mean, he's not
He's not A.J. Dalton, who actually plays for that same team. So.
Or Andy, yeah, Dalton.
Whatever.
You're a million percent right about that.
I know you have some topics, Adam. Let's get to those.
All right, question I have for you guys. I don't know if either of you saw the article written by one Joey Harrington this last week.
Ex-college great.
And, well, that kind of gets to my point a little bit with what he wrote. He wrote a column and he said, my NFL career was not a bust. And basically, he kind of starts out by saying, well, number one, my dream was never to play in the NFL. My dream was to play in the Rose Bowl and to be the MVP of the Rose Bowl. That was always his big dream. Apparently, he had gone to the Rose Bowl a couple times with his dad as a kid and had seen the wall where they have the MVPs put up, and he picked out year 2002 and said, that will be my face, you know, for the Rose Bowl. And the college experience, the locker room was so tight-knit, and you were playing for one another in the truest of sense. It wasn't a business. It was a band of brothers. And when he got to the NFL, how he was unbelievably overwhelmed by the fact of how much of a business it was, how much the guys weren't pulling for one another. And he kind of throws Mariucci under the bus at one point in the article.
Well, you'd have to.
basically saying that, you know, towards the end with the Lions, he went into the office and said, and asked if he could have permission to throw it downfield more, because Mariucci always told him to, when in doubt, check it down. And he's in this rut of checkdowns. And so and Mariucci just looked at him, according to Joey Harrington, just looked at him and said, why do you need permission to throw it downfield? And he said, because I feel like I'm in this rut of checking it down because you say always check it down. And Mariucci just put on his coat and walked out the door.
Keep checking it down.
So, I mean, there's a little bit of that. And he talks about his career later with the Dolphins, with the Falcons, and he talks about Nick Saban and Petrino when he was in Atlanta and how putrid Petrino
was.
Those
are the two worst coaches to go out on.
He actually has a lot of very positive things to say about Saban.
Oh, well, I could see Saban, but not Petrino. Because Petrino walked out on that team.
Saban was that Saban told him exactly where he stood.
Yeah.
I'm bringing in Dante Culpepper. You're going to be there too. And if you play better, you play. If he plays better, he plays. And that's it. Are you cool with that? And Joey was like, yeah, I'm down with that. Because in the Lions organization, apparently, there's a bunch of double talk all the time. Mm. So I guess my question to you guys is the way that Joey talked about college and the way he talked about the pros, I think there are some guys, and Matt Leinart comes to mind in this, who are college guys. Like, they're awesome in college. The college atmosphere, the college life is, like, their epitome. Like, they're, when you talk to these guys 20 years later, the best time of their life is always college, right? We all know that guy. We all know that guy who the best time of his life was high school. And they still live in your hometown, and they still live in the day of yesteryear. Are there quarterbacks that come out of the draft where their highest aspiration is just college? And as good as they are in college, they'll never be a great NFL quarterback because they don't look at it as that next step. That's not their dream. It's not the business. It's not what they want to do.
Well, I mean, I think maybe for a lot, you say what they aspire to do. So a lot of these college quarterbacks, when they're playing for these guys who they're competing for jobs for one another, but it's not like they're going to get shipped off to another team. So they're going to see them year after year. And so they get comfortable in this atmosphere where it is like a family. But then you get to the NFL and you're like, holy crap, this is a business. I could be gone. They could be gone. Maybe it's not that you didn't aspire to be more. Maybe it's just not what you thought. And it isn't the experience that you want anymore. Maybe you don't want to just play for business anymore. Maybe you wanted that camaraderie with the dudes. Maybe you wanted to play for something bigger than yourself. When you get to the NFL, it is all about yourself. And it's all about your brand, which is why I think, you know, when you look at Pete Carroll, when he makes a team feel like it is about them more than just a brand, which is clearly not in the NFL. It is just a business. Maybe that's the reason that they can get some of these players to have success, so they can feel like they're wanted, like they're welcome, like it is more of a family. Because once these guys get out of college, it is a business, just like you said. So maybe some of the guys just don't like the atmosphere, and so they just lose interest.
Hey, a lot of where college guys go has a big impact on how well they do, right? And that's a big reason why they've kind of changed the way these young guys are paid coming out of the draft, right? Because Harrington came out back in the day when you were number three overall as a quarterback, and yeah, you were getting paid big bucks at that position, right? and you didn't have to necessarily produce. And for a guy, I think, like you said, Adam, if it's not his aspiration to maybe be, you know, a great NFL quarterback, maybe you're just comfortable and you feel like you've achieved what you wanted to achieve as far as your football perspective goes. And I do think it has a lot to do with it that he went to Detroit, where some of the worst years of Detroit, you know, 2002, 2000 through 2005 is when Harrington was there, and just not a good time to be a Detroit Lion. And if you're in that type of situation where there's no coming out of it, I can see why it would get kind of demoralizing. And if you're with a coach that you don't feel like you can actually talk to or is, you know, giving you the straight answer, like maybe he sounded like he got from Nick Saban, you know, that's unfortunately the way it goes sometimes, that it's not going to be all that great. And it sounds like that was the situation Harrington was in. Now, as far as him arguing that he isn't a bust, I mean, look at your numbers, dude. You were a number three overall pick, and you never produced a winning season. So in my mind, you're a bust.
He's kind of the definition of a bust.
Well,
really.
Here's his reasoning for why he's not a bust. Is that
it's not my fault.
Well, there was a lot of that in the article. Let's say that. But his reasoning that he's not a bust, the way that he views it, is he always looked at football as a thing that would set him up to be able to do what he wanted to do with the next phase of his life. And like I said, Brandon, he came out of college and he got that big contract. He stayed in the league for multiple years and played on the Falcons, in the Dolphins, in the Saints. And it allowed him to set up a foundation once he was out of the league to help kids go to college in Oregon. He's happy with his wife there back in Oregon and, doing some of those things. And so the reason he doesn't feel like it was a bust is that he utilized the opportunity to get to the point to where he's able to do in the next phase of his life all the things that he wanted to do.
So it wasn't the life bust. It was a football bust, but it wasn't the life bust.
Yeah, in my mind, no doubt.
All right, guys. Well, I think with that, there's only two things left to say, and that is hooray beer.
Hooray beer.
Hooray beer.
Hooray football.
Hooray football.
Hooray football.
And Brock on.
And happy anniversary. Yes,
thanks,
happy
dude.
Happy anniversary, Ben.
Well done, man.
Yeah, go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.